Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning as we gather together on this Lord's Day, this day that the Lord has made to celebrate and to bear witness to God's love and grace in the midst of our world. Just to remind everyone, please take the time to read your bulletin thoroughly. Also, go to our webpage to stay abreast of all that is happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church. Our scripture reading this morning, our first scripture reading, will come from the book of Isaiah. We'll be reading from the 66th chapter of Isaiah. We'll start at verse 10 and we'll read through verse 14. It is found on page 683 of your pew Bible, so let us listen to God's word for us. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious bosom. For thus says the Lord, I will extend prosperity to her like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse and be carried on her arm, and dandled on her knee. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Your bodies shall flourish like the grass, and it shall be known that the hand of the Lord is with his servants, and his indignation is against his enemies. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from chapter 10 of Luke's gospel, beginning at verse 1, reading through verse 11. Then we'll skip down to verse 16 and read through verse 20 of Luke's gospel. Again, it is found on page 947 of your pew Bibles. So at this time, let us again listen to God's word for us. After the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go, he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near.' Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." And he said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Tell them that the kingdom of God has come near. That's what Jesus tells his 70 followers as he prepares to send them out on their evangelizing mission. It's the second time Jesus has sent people out in Luke's gospel. In the previous chapter, chapter 9, Jesus sends out 12 of his disciples, his 12 main disciples, and he sends them out, and they come back from a relatively successful mission of evangelizing. But now Jesus sends out 70 more people, people who are everyday ordinary people like me and like you. I imagine that some of them were probably people who were a bit adventurous. Some of them may have been people who were less somewhat risk averse. Some of them may have looked forward to going out. Some of them may have been nervous about going out, but Jesus sends them out because that's what the church is about. That's what the church does. The church goes out. It doesn't stay sequestered among itself, but it goes out into the world, and that's what Jesus is doing this morning. He is sending 70 people out, 70 people representing all of the known nations at the time, but he's sending them out to the places where Jesus himself plans to go. And of course, I imagine that for the 70, it was probably a little scary for them to go out into the world. It's not going to be an easy mission for them by any stretch of the imagination. Indeed, Jesus tells them that he is sending them out as lambs among wolves. Have you ever felt yourself being a lamb among wolves? Not a comfortable situation to be in. In fact, I've always maintained that the best security is to be one of the wolves, and preferably to be the biggest, meanest wolf that one can be. But Jesus says, no, I'm sending you out into this cold, cold world, a world filled with all kinds of meanness, a world filled with all kinds of hatred and cruelty. I'm sending you out as lambs. I'm sending you out as people who live totally different from the world around you. You know, other people can lie and cheat to get ahead, Jesus says, but not you. Others can be mean and cruel, but not you. Others can be exploitive and self-seeking, but not you. Jesus says, I am sending you out as lambs because that's the way I go out. We know Jesus was the lamb of God, and Jesus says that's what he wants us to be too. Those of us who follow him, he calls us to be his lambs. He calls us to be people of gentleness, people of who are humane, people with compassion. He wants us to be lambs, and he sends people out as lambs among wolves. You might expect Jesus to say, since I'm sending you among the wolves, I want you to make sure that you are well fortified, that you have everything that you need. Make sure you bring enough clothing. Make sure you bring enough food. Make sure you bring enough money. Make sure you have what you need to get by in case of any emergencies. Again, I have to say personally, I like resources. I like to know beforehand that I have what I need. I used to say to myself, Lord, wouldn't it be wonderful if I was rich? Wouldn't it be wonderful if I won the lottery? Think of all the things that I could do if I had the resources. Wouldn't have to worry about anything. Wouldn't have to depend on anybody. I could just do all the wonderful things that I want to do. But again, that's not what Jesus tells the 70 this morning as he sends them out. He says, don't take anything. Don't take any extra clothes, no extra food, no extra money. He tells them you're going to be totally dependent on the people I'm sending you to. Eat whatever is put before you. Don't start looking around for any fancy restaurants or any high-end places to eat. And if someone invites you into their home, stay there. Don't start looking around for more comfortable accommodations. You're going to live the way I live, says Jesus, trusting in God and depending on the hospitality of others. We heard Jesus say last week that foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. And that's the way that Jesus seemed to have gotten around. He seemed to have gotten around on the hospitality of others. And so that's what he says of those who he is sending out. He says, don't bring any sandals, don't bring any money, don't bring any purse. Bring only yourself and your desire to serve God. The Catholic activist Dorothy Day once wrote that the only way to live in true security is to live so close to the bottom that when you fall, you don't have far to drop. You don't have much to lose. And sometimes I think the problem with the church, particularly the church in America, is that we are gotten far too independent, far too comfortable. And the more independent we are, the more we think we don't need God. But Jesus tells the 70 this morning, he's saying, I'm sending you out with virtually nothing. And so he tells them to go out trusting in God. We can understand the 70 saying, okay, Jesus, if that's the way you're going to send us out, if you're sending us out as lambs among wolves and you're sending us out with virtually no provisions, then what's the message going to be? What kind of message do you want us to bring? What's the message you want us to convey that might win friends and influence people? What do you want us to say to these wolves, the community of wolves that you are sending us out among? And Jesus says, just tell them this. Tell them that the kingdom of God has come near. That's the message. The kingdom has come near to you. God's kingdom. God's kingdom of grace. God's kingdom of joy. God's kingdom of peace and justice. God's kingdom has come near. You know, that was Jesus' basic message. Jesus taught a lot of things, of course, a lot of other things, but his basic message was that the kingdom of God has come near. That's what he said, some of the first words that he said, God's kingdom is near, God's kingdom has come among you, come and follow me. Because God's kingdom is already breaking in, God's kingdom is near because Jesus is the king. God's kingdom is near because Jesus embodied the kingdom and lived the kingdom in all that he did. In his gentleness and in his kindness, in his vulnerability, he was showing people what the kingdom was all about. In the way he healed the sick and binded up the brokenhearted, he was showing what the kingdom was all about. In his table fellowship and his willingness to eat and drink with others and the way he himself extended and received hospitality, he was saying that this is what the kingdom of God looks like. And now he is saying that that's the task of the people that he is sending out. That their task is to proclaim the kingdom. And that's still the primary task of God's people today. The primary task of the people of God today is to go out and proclaim to the world that the kingdom of God has come near. Because we ourselves, through the power of the Holy Spirit, are the embodiment of the kingdom in the way that we are called to live. This weekend, of course, is the 4th of July weekend, and I know many of you are still celebrating all of that, celebrating the birth of our nation. And not only the birth of our nation, but also the Enlightenment ideas upon which our nation was founded. Liberty, equality, the rule of law, due process, all of those things that we've come to expect that our nation is about. And I'll leave it to you this morning to determine how all of that is going. But this is also a good time for all of us to remember that we all have a higher allegiance. We belong to a higher realm, a higher reality, a higher kingdom. That we all belong to the kingdom of God. And that's always a little scary, it's a little frightening. It's scary because it means that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. It's scary because it means that we are resident aliens in a world that is becoming more and more cruel in the way that it treats those it considers to be alien. Our job is, in the world today, of course, is to be the church. And sometimes we forget that, especially Christians in our own country, we forget that. We think often that our allegiance is thoroughly to the nations of the world. We often think that our allegiance is strictly to our own nation. Many of us may think that our job is to make America great again. Or we might think that our job is to defend democracy against those we feel represent a grave danger to it. But that's not our job as God's people. Our job is to proclaim the kingdom. And as we noted last week, the kingdom of God is not about going to heaven when we die, though we all look forward to that one day. But the kingdom of God is about the way things will be when God finally has God's way with the world. The kingdom of God is again what we pray for every Sunday when we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And Jesus says that our job and our responsibility as God's people is to go out into the midst of the world and to proclaim that kingdom. Our job is to go out and say that the kingdom of God has come near. It has come near to you. We're reminded this morning that we can expect rejection whenever we do that. Not everyone wants the kingdom. Some people, in fact, are even threatened by the kingdom. And so Jesus reminds us that we can expect rejection. Some people don't want the kingdom because they have amassed power and privilege right now. Why in the world would they want to give up what they have in order to work for a better world? Why would they want to give up what they have in order to work for another world, for God's coming future? If you have everything you need right now, if you have all the riches that you want right now, and all the advantages, then the kingdom of God is going to be somewhat of a threat. That was the story of the rich young ruler, remember? He comes to Jesus, and he likes what Jesus is saying. He's attracted to Jesus. He's attracted to the way of Jesus. And Jesus says, "Okay, if you want to follow me, go give up all your riches to the poor and come and follow me." And the rich young ruler can't do it. And why would he? Why would he give up his riches? Why would he give up his advantages? Why would he give up his privileges to work for a better world, to work for God's world? We know how difficult that is in the midst of our own world. You know, sometimes the more you have, the more you want. Sometimes the more you have, the more you take, and you're not concerned about what happens to people who don't have. If they have to do without, then tough luck. That's the way many of us think. That's the way many people think in our country. And so some people will be threatened by the kingdom of God, and they will reject the kingdom of God. Some people will not want the kingdom because they think that all the wrong people are going to be there. You know, we're constantly wanting people who look like us, people who talk like us, believe like us, think like us. We create all kinds of artificial barriers to keep people out. But the kingdom of God, we're reminded, is going to be a kingdom for everybody. It's a kingdom for all kinds of people. It's a kingdom for people of every nationality. It's a kingdom for people of every race. It's a kingdom for people of every language. Jesus often told the leaders of his day that there's going to be certain people who will make it to the kingdom before they do. He told them the prostitutes and publicans, tax collectors, are going to be a part of the kingdom, going to make it to the kingdom before they do. And that's probably true. There are going to be people there in the kingdom that we think shouldn't be there. There's going to be people who are part of the kingdom that we don't want to be there. But the kingdom of God is for everyone. I was talking to an older man the other day in the coffee shop. He was telling me that he grew up here in Alney. He grew up, he said, over near Fisher Park. And you having a nice little conversation. He said, yeah, he lived over in Alney for over 30 years. And then he said, but boy, things sure have changed. And I said, yeah, it has. It looks more like the kingdom of God. But some people are threatened by the kingdom of God. And so Jesus says that if you are rejected, if the kingdom of God is rejected, keep moving. Shake the dust off your feet, but remind them that the kingdom of God has come near. Kent McDougall notes that in Scripture, all the kingdoms of the world are often lumped together. All of our kingdoms are often lumped together and shown to be in opposition to the kingdom of God, including our own country, including the country that we celebrate, our own country with its democratic practices and its democratic principles. It too is in opposition to the kingdom of God. But we are called to proclaim that kingdom in the midst of our country. We are called to remind our country that there is a higher purpose, a higher calling, that there is a God who sits at the top of the circle of the earth, and that God is calling all to allegiance to him. And as God's people, that's what we are called to go out and to proclaim, the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God has come near. On the 4th of July, I was out watching a group of young people, actually two young people, but I was watching the two young people, and they were part of an organization that I'm familiar with called the Eastern Service Workers. And Eastern Service Workers is an organization that seeks to organize low-income workers into a community of well-being and mutuality and mutual sharing. They try to create community, and they also seek to recruit professionals like lawyers and doctors and dentists and people that might be called upon by people who might not have the means to be able to call a regular lawyer if they need one, or a regular doctor, or a regular dentist. And so these young people were out, and they were doing what they called outreach. They were on a busy corner near downtown, and they were soliciting people as they went by and seeking to sign people up. And I was watching them, and as they were working, I was like, they're not going to get anybody. It's hot, and they're not going to get, no one's going to stop. But people were, you know, most people didn't stop. They kept going and, you know, didn't have time, or they were too busy. And some people stopped to argue and, you know, wanted to be in dispute. But every once in a while, someone would stop. Someone that I thought would certainly not stop, but someone would stop and sign up. And some even gave money. And as I was watching these young people do outreach, I thought to myself, that's what the kingdom of God is about. The kingdom of God is a call to a new kind of community, to a new way of living. The kingdom of God is a call to mutuality. It's a call to live in a whole different kind of way. It's a call to be lambs in the midst of a beastly world. It's a call to be vulnerable and dependent on each other in a world where we often prize independence, in a world where we often like to say that we don't need anybody else, where the name of the game is just to go out and get all that you have and can without having to be responsible for anyone else. But Jesus says that the job of the church is to proclaim the kingdom, God's coming kingdom, God's coming kingdom of grace and mercy and love, God's coming kingdom of lambs, God's coming kingdom of gentleness and kindness, God's coming kingdom where we share what we have with each other, God's coming kingdom where we are called to care for others. Jesus says that the job of the church is to proclaim that kingdom, not just in what we say, but in how we live our lives. Go out into the world, says Jesus, and proclaim that the kingdom of God has come near. Sometimes I wonder if the work that we are called to do as the church, as God's people, will be nearly as victorious as we sometimes hope. When we look around the world, things seem so helter-skelter. It seems that God's grace and love and mercy can't possibly prevail. It seems like the forces and powers of sin and death always seem to have the last word. It seems that if you have money and privilege, you are almost most assuredly going to get your way. Even with all of our talk about equality and liberty and democracy and due process and law, we all know what kind of world we actually live in. But there's that wonderful passage in the book of Revelation where it says that the kingdoms of the world have become the kingdoms of our God. And every time I read that passage, I'm encouraged once again to be about what we are called to be about, and that is to proclaim that the kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of God is already broken into our world in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's still broken into the world in you and me and in the spirit that animates you and me. And so the task of the church is to continue to go out. If the people of Eastern Service Workers can do it, certainly you and I can do it. The people who believe in political parties and political movements can do it, can go to door to door, certainly you and I can do it. If the people who see only a limited hope can do it, then you and I can certainly do it, because we have God, Almighty God, on our side, leading us and calling us into a whole new reality. And so Jesus says, go out into the world and tell them that the kingdom of God has come near. It has come near to all of you. It has come near to our world. The kingdom of God has come near. Let us pray. Gracious God, on this 4th of July weekend, as we celebrate our nation, we ask that you remind us, as your people, of your call to us. That your call to us is to be a people who go out into the world to proclaim the good news of your kingdom. Help us to embody that news ourselves as we seek to be your faithful people, as we seek to be your lambs in the world. Help us not to be afraid of the wolves Help us to have faith in a beastly world and to know that you will prevail, that your kingdom will prevail, that your love and grace and mercy will prevail over all that threatens to distort your world. Give us the power to live as Jesus himself lived, as he himself embodied your coming kingdom. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.